Welcome to the Podcast at the Hill. You are about to hear a message from Pastor Daniel Blaylock entitled, The Mission.
Wow! Any Avengers fans in the house? I can hear you now! All right. Wow, what an awesome clip. Guys, I want to remind you today, you and I are part of a great team, amen? Who would not want to be part of a team like that? A team that had the opportunity to go on a mission that was going to save the whole world. You can get excited about that, right? Awesome. Who's your favorite Avenger?
Hulk.
Why? Why do you like Captain America? He's in the Army. Hulk. I heard Hulk. Why do you like the Hulk? He's unstoppable. That's awesome. Noah? Batman. Awesome. Huh? Thor. Awesome. Christian? Iron Man. All right. Kendrell? The Hulk. Awesome. Everybody's got their favorite Avenger, right? Everybody has their favorite superhero. Well, today, we're going to learn how that you and I are called by Jesus to be part of a team. Amen? Amen. Jesus, when He came to earth to save the world, He assembled a team. Shout a team.
Team.
Jesus built a team around Himself. Jesus didn't just come and die on the cross and rise again and then go back to heaven and say, okay, I've done all the work for you. See you in a few thousand years, right? Did Jesus do that? No, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, while He was here, before He died and rose again, one of the very first things He did was He got a team of friends around Him. Say a team. Jesus is still looking for people to be part of His team. Amen? Jesus is calling people to join Him on the greatest mission that has ever happened in the world. Now, I don't know about you, I love superheroes. I love superhero movies. I just enjoy that kind of thing. My dad and I grew up loving sci-fi. My mom endures it. My dad and I are enthralled by it. Amen? We could just watch it every night all the time. Mom, not so much. She's in another room of the book, and Dad and I are just geeking out on whatever is coming on the sci-fi channel. We've seen them all twice, right? We love it. That's our cup of tea. We like that kind of thing. And we're going to talk about today this idea of mission. All the stories that you read about and comic books, all the movies that you watch, the big problem with them is they're not really true, right? We know that. We watch them for fun and games. But have you ever noticed something about those kind of movies? Have you ever noticed that they really kind of pull on your heartstrings a little bit, right? Something on the inside of you just kind of rises up and goes, man, I want to be like those guys. Have you ever noticed that? That feeling is very real. And I want to tell you something, Christian. That feeling is very right. Say it's right. You ought to feel that way. God wants you to feel that way. God's desire for every believer is that something like you feel when you watch the Avengers rise up on the inside of you every time you step out of your door in the morning, because you understand, like they understood, that you have a mission. Say a mission. You've got an assignment. You've got a job. You're part of a team. You are a big deal in the kingdom of God. Amen? Your part matters, and it's important that we get that. Jesus is calling you to assemble as part of His team on the most exciting and by far the most important mission in the history of the whole world. Friday night we talked about the curse. Say the curse. We talked about the curse Friday night. If we did, we learned that Adam and Eve, our first parents, were deceived by the snake. And that the world God made to be a place of blessing became a place of curse. And all kind of bad stuff came flooding into our world because Adam and Eve didn't know it. But when they disobeyed God and they ate that apple, they were opening the door for the enemy to come in and to bring all kind of destruction, sickness, sorrow, pain, death, war, hunger, disease, all kind of horrible things happened because of the curse. And the world God made to be a place of love and goodness was filled with sickness, heartache, evil, and hatred. Last night we learned about the rescue. Say the rescue. So we talked last night about the rescue, and Lieutenant Aaron Connor from the U.S. Army chaplain stood right here and talked to you about the rescue. And we saw those clips of Captain America, one of my favorite heroes, who offered up his life to save the world, who entered into the prison prison and led the prisoners out by his own strength and power. And we talked about how that is a symbol. It's a story that reminds us of a real story, the story of Jesus, and how Jesus really did give his life for the world. And he died so that our sins could be forgiven. And Jesus really did enter into the darkest domain, down into hell where the devil was. And he took the keys of death and darkness away from Satan. And he rose from the dead victorious on the third day. And he came out with the victory. And if you and I will trust Jesus, if we will invite him into our life, if we will repent of our sin, ask God to forgive us, and surrender to Jesus, he will save us and rescue us from the prison house of Satan. He'll deliver us from Satan's prison house. Well, today we're talking about the mission. Say the mission. And so we've talked about the curse and the rescue, and finally today, the mission. Jesus is assembling a team of boys and girls, men and women, who want to join him on the most important mission the world has ever known. And so if I had a title, it would simply be the title of that movie, Avengers Assemble. Say assemble!
Assemble.
It's time for us to come together in the family of God as Jesus' team and fulfill the mission he gave us. Remember, the story we're learning this weekend is true. Our world lives under the curse of sin and death. Jesus died so our sinful choices that separate us from God can be erased. And then Jesus rose from the dead so that anyone who believes that he's God's son and puts all their trust in him, he will rescue them, and they don't have to be a slave to Satan and their old pattern of living any longer. But the story doesn't stop there. Say, it's not over. Say it like they ate breakfast. Say, it's not over. Jesus didn't just die and go back to heaven, and so we just kind of sit back and play video games the rest of our life, right? No. Jesus didn't die and rise again so you could live a boring, safe, predictable life just waiting on him to come back and take you to heaven one day. No, that's not the story. That's not the mission. Some people believe that once we are Christians, once we trust Christ, that it's game over and they all live happily ever after. I want to tell you guys, this is not a fairy tale you're living. This is a comic book, amen? This is an adventure story. This is the story that you and I have a part to play in. Jesus didn't die and rise so you could waste your life doing boring stuff. When you became a Christian, you were signing up to join a team. Say a team. You were enlisting in an army. You were assembling with God's A-team. You were joining together with the people who were called to change the world. Christ didn't save us just to live a boring, comfortable life. He breathes the gap between us and God. He breathed life into your dead heart and your dead spirit. He woke you up and made you alive again. He did it so you could live for him. I want to share a Bible verse with you today. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. The New Living says it this way. He died for everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. If you're a Christian, you don't get to just go do whatever you want to. I'm saved and now I get to just ignore Jesus and do my ordinary thing. No, that's not true. It isn't so. To be a Christian doesn't mean that God has stamped forgiveness on your head and you just forget about Jesus until you die or until he comes again. Not at all. The only way you can be saved, the only way you can be a Christian is if you realize Jesus is the King and you fall on your knees and you surrender your life to him. Jesus saved us so we can live for him. Say, live for him. He saved us to call us on a mission. He's given us a job to do. He's commanded us to do our part to fulfill that mission. C.S. Lewis said it this way, adults, I love this quote. Enemy occupied territory. That's what our world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. You might say landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. That's a story you get excited about. Do you realize that? You're part of a real story. You're part of a true story, and you have a part to play in that. Jesus came to earth. He sneaked sneaked in the back door. He came as a baby and surprised the devil. He lived a sinless life. And when he was 30 years old, he exploded on the scene as the greatest superhero ever. And he announced, the Son of God is here to change everything. He stepped up and said, I'm making everything new. I'm reversing the curse. I'm breaking the chains. And everything's going to be different because I'm here now. And Jesus changed everything. And he called us to join him on his mission. Mark 16:15. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. To every creature. Say every creature. We had a creature in the room last night, didn't we, guys? We had a real creature in the room. Do you remember? What did Flash bring in here last night? A raccoon. I'm from Mississippi. We just call it a coon. Amen. We had a coon in here. A live coon in the place last night. Amen. He made quite an appearance. Is that the kind of creature we're supposed to preach the gospel to? No. What does he mean by every creature? Every person, right? Every human being. Everybody needs the gospel. Everyone needs to know about Jesus. What is this mission we're called to share in? It's the same as Jesus' mission. Last night, Lieutenant Connor stepped up here and said, I want to tell you what the mission of Jesus is. I want to remind you of it today. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I want you to read this with me. Can you see it there? Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Look at the world around you. Do you think the world around you today is the way God wants it to be? I don't think so. When you see all the problems and the brokenness in our world, is that the way God designed it? When God was sitting in heaven before He made anything, the way things are now, do you think that's the dream God had in His mind when He stepped out on nothing and said, let there be light, and He created the world? I don't think so. God's plan was never for there to be war and sickness and disease and trouble around us. That's not God's will. People breaking His law, disobeying His command, hating other people, taking what does not belong to them, breaking their promises, lying to one another. That's not God's way. Hurting each other. A world where marriages break up. A world filled with sickness and disease. Where innocent people get killed in war. Where children die because they don't have clean water to drink or enough food to eat. That's not God's design. That's not His plan. That was not His dream. And so when the world went wrong because of Adam and Eve's sin, God didn't walk away. He launched a rescue mission. He sent Jesus to defeat Satan and to break the curse. Jesus rose from the dead to prove that He is the rightful King. He defeated Satan on the cross. And one day He will come back. Say, He'll come back. When He does, He's going to rule and reign forever. And every other kingdom, every other government, every other ruler is going to have to get down on their knees and bow down. And they're going to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the only King. When it's all over with, there'll only be one King. And Jesus will rule and reign forever. Now you and I are the people who know that. We know how the story is. And so what do we do between now and then? What are we supposed to be doing between the resurrection of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus? How are we supposed to act between the time He left and the time He shows up again at the end of the book, at the end of the movie? Well, He wants us to join His team. He wants us to engage in our mission. Listen, Satan is trying to keep people around you away from the message of Jesus. Jesus won the most important battle. He defeated Satan on the cross. He rose from the dead and conquered death. But I'm going to tell you, just because Jesus won the decisive battle doesn't mean the devil has put down his guns and stopped shooting. He's still very real and he's still fighting. He knows he can't win the war. But what he wants to do is take as many people down with him as he can before he is defeated. He knows he's going to be defeated, and he wants you to be defeated too. But you've got to make up your mind. No, I'm not really important. devil. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm going to let him rescue me. And then I'm going to go on mission. I'm going to help Jesus rescue as many people as I can. You're part of the team. Say, I'm on the team. I don't know about you, but that's an awesome moment. Whenever you're in school and you go and you audition, you try out for something. Maybe you try out for the football team or the basketball team. Maybe you audition for the choir or the band or the cheerleaders or the dance squad. And everybody shows up that next morning and they all run up and there's this list outside the door, right? And you're not worried about anybody but your name. You're scrolling down the list and you're looking to see your name. You want to know, did I get picked for the team? Well, I want to tell you, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you've asked Him to forgive your sins and come live in your heart, you made the team. Say, I made the team. Jesus wants you to join the team and do your part, to play your part in the great mission. Satan's trying to keep our friends and loved ones locked up in prison. Some of them have never asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. They need you to tell them how they can become a Christian. They need you to explain to them how they can receive Jesus and be set free. Jesus wants you to tell them how He can change their lives. That's your part to play. That's your job on the team, to be His witness. Some of them don't know or understand the message of Jesus. Jesus wants us to invite our friends to come to church with us. Bring them with you to kids' church. Bring them to Wednesday night, to the Bible study time, so they can hear the message of Jesus. You can do that. You can invite a friend and bring a friend with you into God's house. Adults, I'm preaching to you too. Some of you, it's been a year since you invited anybody. Some of you drive to church every week by yourself. Some of you have a spare seat in your car. Put somebody that doesn't know the Lord on that seat and park them by your seat. Amen? Bring them into God's house. So do your part. Play your part on the team. Fulfill the mission of Jesus. Invite people to come. For the next few weeks, we're going to be learning about the kingdom of God, life in the kingdom of God, how we get in the kingdom, how we operate in the kingdom. It's going to be a great back-to-school series and a great time to invite your friends who don't know a lot to get a ground-level knowledge of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Invite your friends for the next few weeks. Get them to come and join us. You know what, guys? There are friends at your school who don't have any friends at all. They feel all alone. You'll see them next week at school. They're by themselves on the playground. They're sitting down by themselves in the lunch line. Nobody's interacting with them at recess. Jesus wants you to be on His team. And what Jesus would do is He'd go find that person. And He would become their friend. He would introduce Himself. He'd pull them into their group of friends. And He would make sure they were not all alone in the world. Jesus wants you to show love and kindness. Some of you, listen, Jesus wants you to grow up and do something with your life that impacts the world around you. Some of you, Jesus may call you to grow up and be policemen who help keep your community safe. He may call you to be a doctor or a nurse and help take care of those that are sick. He may call you to be a school teacher or a football coach and love on young people and influence their life and let them know that they matter to God and that they have a purpose in life. Jesus may want you to become a contractor who builds houses, and then on the weekend you go build houses for people that can't afford a house with Habitat for Humanity. Or you go on the mission team at Forest Hill and you build a building every year where people can worship and hear about Jesus. Jesus may want you to join a ministry that goes to Africa or South America and drills wells so kids can have fresh drinking water and they don't die of disease. He may want you to join a team that takes food to the hungry. He may want you to join Operation Compassion, and every time there's a flood or a hurricane or a storm or a crisis, you load up on a truck, you put on your team t-shirt, and you go and you help other people who are in the middle of trouble. You don't have to know yet what Jesus wants you to do. I'm not asking you to sign up for what you're going to do forever, but I am going to ask you to sign up today. I am going to ask you to make a commitment today, and the commitment is this. Jesus, I want to be on your team. Jesus, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to give my life to you, Lord. My life's not about me. Jesus didn't die so you could live a safe, boring life. Jesus didn't save you from sin and death and hell so that you could just drive a fancy car and live in a big old house, be a rich person, or become a rock star. He didn't save you just to do those things. He may bless you with some of those things. If he does, use them for the team. Use them for the mission. But I want your ears to be open. I want your heart to be open to the idea that maybe Jesus wants you to say no to those things, and he wants to call you to do something that really matters in the world. Something for the sake of the team. Something that will make Jesus' name known to the world around us. Jesus gave us life and rescued us so we could live for him. Say, live for him. Parents, I want to challenge you today. These kids are going to take their cues from you. So I challenge you, I urge you today. They're not your kids. They're God's kids. And the way you raise them matters. Grandchildren, set them. They're going to follow their grandparents. Aunts and uncles, you have an influence over these kids. They are not yours, they're his. He's entrusted them to your care. He's given you the mission of launching these children into the future in the right direction. He's given you the mission of starting them out right in life. And one day, he will hold us accountable for what we did for the 20 years that they were under our care. Amen? Hear me today. There are a lot of parents in the room that say, you know, I want my kids to do better than me. I don't want them to grow up and be like me. You never know who you've got in your house. You never know what God's plan is for the child that you're raising. You could be bringing up in the love of God. You could be raising right at your kitchen table the next evangelist or missionary or doctor or world leader. You don't know who's in your living room. You've just got to be faithful. You've got to do a good job. You've got to make sure they love Jesus and they know God's word and they've got the values of the kingdom of God and not of this world in their heart, or they might miss their purpose. They might be successful. What's scary is they might grow up and make a lot of money and live in a nice house and not ever bother you again, but they might miss their purpose. They might be, instead of down and out, they might be up and out and lose out with God and end up being lost forever because we didn't do our job of putting the values of the kingdom inside their heart and life. Listen, they're going to grow up either to know Jesus and fulfill their destiny, or they're going to fall into one of the thousand traps that Satan is laying for them. Your job is to keep them from stepping in the trap, teaching them how to walk with God. And listen, parents, I love you, but if you want them to do better, you've got to do better. If you want them to do better, you've got to do better. Of the old Church of God preacher that I knew. He walked up to a young man one time and saw him, and he had two boys with him about the age of mine, and he said, "Man, these are nice looking boys you got here." And the man said, "I appreciate it, Pastor." And he said, "Too bad, they're probably going to die and go to hell one day." The man stepped back and said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Well, you know, boys tend to follow their dad." The next Sunday morning, that man gave his heart to Jesus. He planted himself in the Church of God, and he raised two boys and went into gospel ministry and preached the Word of God. If you don't want them to end up where you end up, then chart a different course. Go a different way. Leave a different set of footprints than the ones you're leaving. But you can't sow wild oats and then pray for crop failure. We reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap after we sow. But listen, we've got to trust God and say, "I'm going to turn around and go a different way. And I'm going to believe God that my kids are going to see the change in my life. They're going to see the new direction that I've set. And they're going to follow me to love and serve Jesus." You need to let Jesus fix you so you can fix your family. But he's not going to step over you to fix them. Oh, it's quiet in the Holiness Church this morning. You thought it was going to be a little kiddie service. I didn't come to play games with you this morning. I came with a word from the Holy One. To a great degree, these kids will succeed or fail in their mission dependent on the example that is set before them by the previous generation in their house and in the church house. Amen? It is our responsibility to be on mission for God. It is time not for the Avengers, but for the church to assemble. Say, challenge you kids today, are you willing to commit your life to Jesus? Are you willing to say right now, I give Jesus my future? I don't know what He wants to do with me, but I give You my life. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm already saying yes to You. I'm handing You a blank check. Lord, do whatever You want to with my life. It's Yours. You save me, I'm going to live for You. That is the challenge on the table. That is what Jesus is inviting you to do today. To make a promise today to love Jesus all your life. To obey Jesus all of your life. And to do whatever He tells you and go wherever He sends you. You say, can I really do that at my age? I was 11 years old when I knelt at an altar and gave my heart to Jesus. And I've been up and down in my feelings, but I've never been in and out of the kingdom. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 11 years old, and I've walked with Jesus ever since that day. When I was 12 years old, I heard the voice of God and knew that I was called to preach. You are not too young to hear God. You are not too young for God to lay His hand on your life. You are not too young to be saved. You are not too young to begin to serve God and live for Jesus. You're not too young. Don't let anybody tell you that. You're at the perfect age to hear the voice of God. You're at the perfect age to make a decision to follow Jesus. Jesus will change your life now. And you will never get in the mess that other people get in. You won't break your life like other people if you'll follow Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. We need to reach our kids so we don't have to rescue our teenagers. Hallelujah. That's why kids' ministry matters. And this is what we do every week down the hall on right. So parents, listen to me. Get up. Get out of bed. Wipe the sleeping out of your eyes. Get your kids here because we're not playing patty cake with them back there. We're discipling them. We're teaching them about Jesus. We're raising up an army. We're not playing. They can't drive. They'll come if you will. Amen. I don't know if I'm mad or anointed, but I'm feeling it. I want you to stand with me all over the room. Parents, it starts with you. Have you let Jesus rescue you from your sins? Have you fallen on your knees, laid your crown down, and said, I'm not the boss of me anymore. I'm not the king of my own life. I surrender my life to You, Jesus. I believe You died so I could be forgiven. I believe You rose from the dead to break the chains of addiction and bondage and sin off of my life. You trusted Him. I want to invite you, if you haven't, to do that today, to come find a place in a kid's service. If you don't come like a child, you can't come at all. So you may as well come this morning. You may as well, because whenever you come, you're going to have to come humble and undignified and broken and lay your life down at the feet of Jesus. And there's no dignified way to do that. You just got to come surrender to Jesus. Sometimes this morning, some of us, it's not our kids, it's our parents, it's us. We need to surrender to Jesus. Have you asked Him to set you free from slavery to sin? Have you turned your back on your own agenda, your own plan, your own way? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? If not, your kids really need you to step up and show some leadership this morning. They need you to follow Jesus and so they can follow you. Because they need somebody with skin on in their house who's living for God who will set the example. Step up! Man up! Woman up! Take your place in the kingdom of God for the sake of your children. Amen? If you don't do it for any other reason, you ought to do it for your kids. Amen? If you've got kids, it's too long. You've been out there too long. Grow up! Get out of the club! Lay down the bottle! You're not 19 years old! You got kids! Open your eyes! You're leading them somewhere! Get yourself in this altar this morning and give your heart to Jesus. Turn it around in your generation. Break the curse now before it gets passed down another round in the circle. No, no, break it today. Jesus will help you break it. Kids, today I want to ask you this morning, you're not off the hook either. Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come live in your heart? If you haven't, that's where it all starts. Lord, I know I've broken Your commandments. I need You to forgive me. I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose again. I want Him to come live in me, and I want Him to rescue me so that I don't live a broken life like other people do. I want Jesus to save my life so that I can live for Him. You need to invite him into your life today to do that. If you are a Christian today, let me ask you, are you living the way he wants you to? Are you following him? Are you obeying him? Are you showing his love to other people? Are you being kind to those, reaching out to others? Are you on mission? Are you acting like you're part of the team when you go to school? If not, you need to sign up today and say, Jesus, you didn't save me so I could live for myself. You saved me so I could be part of your team and I could do the mission. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Chad's going to lead us in singing. And as he does, I want to take just a moment and give you a chance to come. In a moment, we're going to commission every one of these kids. Every one of them are going to get a chain or a tiara. They're going to receive a gift that says we believe in you and we believe in your future. But before we do that, I want to give you an opportunity. I don't want to preach this hard and not give you a chance to respond to Jesus. If the Holy Spirit has touched you, I don't have to beg and plead. You know who you are. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come find a place to pray. Prayer team, you come and join me this morning in case someone wants to come. Bow your heart with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word and your truth. I pray, Lord, today that God, you meet us here. Lord, I pray that you would draw children to give their heart to Jesus and give their life and their future to Jesus. I pray that you would draw parents this morning, Lord, and grandparents to come and give their heart and life to Jesus, to surrender to him. And we'll bless you and thank you. Holy Spirit, do your part, have your way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' strong name. God's people said, every Christian prayed, if God spoke into your heart, now's the time to come. Jealousy.
Thank you for listening to our podcast at The Hill. We pray that you are blessed by this message. For more information on what's happening at The Hill and to stay connected, visit our website at ForestHillCOG.org, join our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForestHillCOG, or download our app from the iTunes or Google Play Store.